Do you mind?
Not at all.
We all want to know.
Well, last night my wife fell and has either broken her shoulder or something else. And yeah, we'll be taking her to the doctor this afternoon at 2:20. And she was in a lot of pain last night. And my daughter Becky came over and helped us through the night. But bless her soul. And then the things that have been prescribed for me, I don't mean this to sound like the moan lament. I'm telling you, what I've had so far from my back has not helped at all. And I'll see the doctor again, but I'm still in a lot of pain. And sometimes I handle it well, and sometimes it keeps me kind of testy. So forgive me if I sound testy. But anyway, my family has just been marvelous. Your prayers have been heard, and I thank you for them. And there are just some things that I have on my mind to share. And I so again want to say to Al, thank you so much for not only substituting, but just pouring out your heart and sharing from God's word, the revelation he's given you. I just don't ever take that for granted. I look around and I see your faces there, and I start down with Jane in the corner, and then Stan, Pat, and Danny, and Jim Winslow, and Helen, and Alan, and Shelley, and Jerry, and all the people. And then there's Jerry and Sherry, and Buck, and Donna, and I just am so grateful for the past. And there are a couple of things that I'd like to rehearse with you, but I don't know if you've already been through them. So can you let me know if what I wanted to do was share a little more about that situation I had 50-some years ago when the guy was praying. Did I tell you any about that?
No. I don't think so, Tom.
Sure.
Well, if it is, just raise your hand and say, stop, we've heard it.
Okay. We will have to have heard it a number of times in order to remember, you realize.
Remember that we've heard it.
Well, that makes me feel a little better.
Yeah.
Jim, I see Sue isn't there. We'll give her our love. Bless her.
I'll see if I can find her.
Jim, have you lost Sue again?
That's the Lord. But anyway, I just wanted to go through this, if you didn't mind. There are some things coming that I've got all these notes over here, so if I look crazy, just forgive me. It's about 1970 or 71 that Dr. Farah and his wife, what was her name? What?
Joanne.
And the guy who was the seminary fellow, I can't remember his name, and his wife, and the man who was the head of the art department at ORU, just a sweet man. Anyway, Chuck invited us to go down to this prayer meeting. There were about six couples there, maybe seven, and it was such a sweet evening just of worship and prayer. Now, have I been through this? So if I have, just raise your hands and say, stop. Okay, anyway, we went down there. We had a marvelous time of just sharing in prayer, and the time of worship was just marvelous. We almost felt the angels singing with us. Now, this is 1970, and people began to share, and as it was that time, we were very new to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and things like prophecy and those gifts of the Spirit were very rare and new to us. And I can remember Tom and Sandy, they're not on right now, but they are familiar with, maybe Jerry and Ann too, with through the years, we would hear prophetic words that seemed all they did was serve the ones giving them. It's all about them. It didn't seem about God. And I came to a point where if you had a prophetic word, I shut it off. I don't even go there anymore. But this brother that night, and his wife, they were so sweet, and they said, something has happened in the last couple of months together we don't know what to do with. And I said, or somebody said, you know, well, tell us about it. And he said, well, here's the dream. And he began with the dream, and the dream was very simply this. He said he had read in the Old Testament many times about the cities of refuge, and that if there was a crime committed and the man was really innocent, he could flee to a city where he couldn't be judged and trialed, etc. Just cities of protection, and then time would go by, and he would be allowed to go back home. And there's a whole story about the cities of refuge. And he said, I just simply believe that God keeps saying to me, and then he said, my wife had the same dream, that Tulsa and its environs and other cities around the United States, but Tulsa is in the middle of the country, and that we must be prepared to receive those people as a city of refuge, where people can come because they've been ridiculed, mocked, and persecuted from other places. I'll give you an example. 2 days ago, I was online and received a report from Reuters news agency. And I wrote it down. I said, I can't believe this. Here it is. Reuters news reports that in California, the governor has wanted to get a law done that churches should stop singing and not be allowed to make worship a part of their coming together as it's noisy.
Yeah.
A law. And I'm saying, oh, come on, this is the year 2020. You know, other things in the cities that are going on that not only can Christians not get together, but every other thing can be open but churches and small meetings. Mm-hmm. And then I had a quote word from a guy I've never met. He's a pastor of a little church in Nashville. And he's the one that said, I wrote down the words that he said. He kept getting this word from God. Come on, Tom, where did you find it? Brace yourself. Mm-hmm. By November, there's going to be a lot of mocking and ridicule of Christians. Mm-hmm. And that many are going to have to move from one place to another. And that was in 1970. And over the years, I think as I look at your faces, if you would just raise your hand, how many of you heard second coming prophecies?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, and I'm not saying, and it seemed that most of them never came to pass. Yeah. I can remember one guy who's still on television now saying that this was part of the festivals of ancient Israel. And if Jesus didn't return by October of that year, you could call him a false prophet. Well, he didn't, and he's still on the air, and he never repented for being a false prophet. But so much of it was just junk. Tom and Sandy remember together when we were asked prophetically, gather all the pennies you can get. And if you'll have pennies and stuff them under your bed. And then last week I read about
also silver, remember? We were supposed to get silver.
Yeah, not only that, but gather all sorts of change because we're going to run out of change, which we may, I don't know. But the big thing is, I came to the place where I just began to dismiss it. Well, I can't dismiss what's going on now. I find in my own dreams, I can remember one of the things I think it was that Al shared. I don't want to blame Al for it, but I got to have somebody to blame. but we've got to realize that we may very well be biblically in the last days. And I went back and began to realize that this epidemic is without equal in history. Maybe back to the bubonic plague. But this is worldwide, whereas the plague was only in certain parts of Europe.
Right.
But this is worldwide. And I think it speaks of several things. And one is that the church needs to repent. I think that's the first thing. And 3 weeks ago, when I got to be on with you for a moment, I chided the women, but I should have chided the men along with them, that the church has kind of been like the bride looking at itself in the mirror and saying, aren't I beautiful and wonderful? It's all about me. Well, the bride of Christ also contains we men. And we've been in that same mirror, the church at large, not every church, not all churches, but many have really rejected the gospel of the kingdom. And we've talked about it so many times and have been all about themselves, bigger, better, more. I read about a church here in our city that spent $35 million just because they forgot to build a chapel. Well, you know, it makes me wonder, or the prophetic guy who needs a $68 million airplane because he can't fly in normal airlines with the demons. I just don't get all that. But no. It says in the last days, we're going to have false prophets. And if you would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 24 that I've referred to so many times. In chapter 24, Jesus responds in 24 and 25 about when he will come again. And as I read these things and talk about them, I am aware of through the ages, people have talked about the second coming of Jesus. And there seems to be quite an urgency in this day and time. But listen to what he says. I'm just going to pick it up 24. Did you go through this last, Al, with them last? Well, I'd like to, he's on Mount Olivet, and it's the signs of his return. I'm going to pick it up in verse 4, 24 of Matthew. See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name saying I'm the Christ and will mislead many. And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not frightened, for these things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you. And you will be hated by all nations on account of my name. I have friends of mine that have recently been to India with a group that I know about, Hope Builders International. And in India, some of the Buddhists have gathered together to destroy not just the buildings of the churches, but to be sure to kill all of the pastors and their wives and family. And then after that, destroy the whole congregation. I have a friend of mine, Wayne Jacobson, some of you know, in Africa, talks about the persecutions gone where whole families are wiped out because they became Christians. Mm-hmm. And it's increasing in Africa. It's increasing in Iraq and Iran, all throughout Russia and China. I have some friends that have come back from China, and they said, do not believe the smiling face of China. They hate Christians. They're murdering them by the hundreds. And he said, none of that kind of news gets out. And that's just a reality. It's happening. But here in America, like that, just that little item from Reuters that I read to you early, where the governor of California wants to shut down churches from singing because they spread the Pandora thing. And you just want to say, come on, people. And then that prophetic word says, brace yourself, by this fall, it's going to get worse.
Right.
And that, now you can hear that several ways, a threat or is wisdom from God, prepare yourself. Now, I can recall when a friend of mine went out years ago and bought, I think, a year's supply of food. And some of it ended up rotting. And he said, well, they'll never get me on that again. But then again, I hear now, if what we heard back there 50-some years ago, a city of refuge, this area and its environs, people are going to come here. We're going to have to take them into our homes or maybe feed and clothe them. These sort of things are beginning to take place. And this brand was saying, please just embrace yourself. Get ready. And that that to me has become something I didn't want to hear, but I am hearing now. So that's why I'm passing all this on to you. And in that 24th chapter, he goes on, they will deliver you to tribulation, kill you. You'll be hated by all nations on account of my name. And I began to think of here in the United States, back in about 1890, I can remember in our homeschooling, I'd love teaching American history, because most of the history books that we had were trying to find were just revisionistic. In other words, they just shared what they wanted to produce their kind of political attitude and environment. And it went to the Supreme Court, I believe 1890 or 95 somewhere. And the Supreme Court announced that, yes, the United States was a Christian nation. But it was a Christian nation, not that we all had to be Christians, but that the morality and law was the basis of the United States and its freedom. He declared these inalienable rights under God, and that God is the God of the Bible. And it was 9-0, the Supreme Court. Yet in 1963, the Supreme Court literally kicked God out of our politics, out of our schools, out of our universities. And to do so, if you got involved in it, you would just get fired. Look at the faculties today. You very rarely hear anything Christian in some of our universities. And then, of course, the great Roe v. Wade decision, when they began to ponder, well, just what is life? We're not really killing life. We don't even know that those little things are life. So if they're inconvenient to your life, kill it. Now, that's what the Bible calls murder. And it's what? Do any of you know? Over 60 million? Mm-hmm. Our nation has turned from God, has mocked God.
Right.
And I believe this virus that we are facing here is a judgment against our nation, the church, and the nations of the world. And I believe that some of these words are something, get ready, it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Right.
And I think that's the thing that I'm trying to communicate, not to scare anybody, but to just say, come on, do you realize how important you are as sons and daughters of the King? And in this chapter, he goes on and says, and many will fall away and will deliver up one another, and many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. And because lawlessness is increased, most people will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he shall be saved. And then this verse that was so delightful to me was, and then this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. And I've mentioned dozens of times in our times together that the gospel of the kingdom has not been preached in the church for probably 1400 years. Occasionally it's been mentioned, but the thing is, be born again, or in the rise of the charismatic and Pentecostals, be filled with the Spirit. Those are part of it. They are introductory, but they are not the gospel of the kingdom. When the Pentecostals began to say, we want to preach the full gospel, they really believed it. All of the other fundamentalists and evangelicals were saying, be born again, that's wonderful. But that only lets you see you've got to enter the kingdom of God. And then Jesus talks about it over and over and over, the kingdom. All of the parables are about the kingdom of God. Right. And that's not been preached. It's preached, kind of get saved. Right. And then everything's all right. And that gospel has been distorted by the social gospel. I've talked about it so many times, that we are to be concerned only about the basic necessities of human life, food, shelter, and clothing. And yet, what does Jesus preach in the Sermon on the Mount? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things necessary for life, food, shelter, clothing. That's indeed a place where the church should be. But that food, shelter, and clothing ministry, that social ministry, must come out of the kingdom of God, or else it always becomes self-serving. Bigger, better, more. Bigger, better, more. And so I believe we're in a time, and I'd really like to hear your reflections. I've got notes after notes here, but I've not been able to be with you all. And I go back, judgment begins always within the house of God.
Right.
And we've talked about that. Alice talked about it. You know the text. Yep. Judgment begins in the house of God.
1 Peter 4:17.
Yes. Mm-hmm. 2 Chronicles. And then how about Daniel? When he says, you've got to repent for the whole nation. Now, Daniel wasn't part of that. He did. He was faithful. But if we are faithful to God, let us join. The church needs repentance to come. Godly sorrow. And we're not talking just about emotion. I've heard people get very emotional and think that their emotions were reality. And all they were was disguise from real decisions of the heart. But repentance, genuine biblical repentance, is a change of heart and mind. Amen. I was going in one direction and then I have turned around. And I think we've got to see more of that in the church today. The church is not here to build itself. The church is here to preach and proclaim the kingdom of God.
Amen.
I look at my notes and I write like a doctor, Al. Can't even understand. I look at this and say, this was so important. I really want to be able to share it. But I think the messages that I'm hearing for all of us is, Church of Jesus Christ, wake up. It's not about a bigger building. It's not about greater things. It's proclaiming the kingdom of God and becoming disciples.
Right.
And the whole thing of just being born again isn't going to do it.
Right.
And I told you the story of the young man who lived down the street from us, and we had meetings on Saturday nights, and the house would be packed, and my oldest son was a friend of this kid, and his kid said his parents sent us down because they heard we were Christians, and they wanted their son to become a Christian and give his life to Christ, and then he could go about living his life as he wished. Mm-hmm. And well, he came down and he said he wanted to become a Christian. We went through the principles, and do you give it? Put him in the bathtub and baptize him. Never saw him again. Mm-hmm. And that's oftentimes what religion has done with be born again.
You want to take a break a minute, Tom?
Please do.
Last week I shared with a group about couple prophetic dreams, and the one about that you heard, brace yourself, that was Pastor Coverstone from Kentucky.
Yes.
And he had saw the calendar. And
yes.
I shared with the group last week about that, but there was the first dream he had, all that was pretty much fulfilled in March when the chaos broke out, COVID and all that, and in June with the riots. Then he had a second dream on about June 22nd of this year. And he saw June, July, August, September, and on into the fall. And when the calendar got to November, a fist hit the calendar. And the calendar exploded. And he saw fights in the streets, schools closed, banks messed up, and places burning and so on and so on. And his overall word he got was brace yourself.
Yes, I recall.
Now, he was on Jim Baker's show a couple of days ago.
Oh.
And he had on July 22nd, he was on the program just a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm. He had a dream about a week ago, Coverstone did. And here's this dream, recent one. He saw September. He pulled the page of September out of the calendar and he put it on the floor in front of the altar in his church. and he stood on it, and the Lord asked him to pray. That was on September 1st of this year. For the church to have a strong background, for corruption in the church to be exposed, and for a great harvest. And then he heard the voice calling for more believers to come and pray with him. And he said the calendar got larger. More people began to appear and to stand on the calendar. More and more. And pretty soon the calendar was the outline of the whole country of USA. And the calendar was filled with people. And then a finger wrote over the calendar, quote, a solemn September assembly. So pray during that month. Then he saw fires breaking out on the east and west coasts. Some were revival. Some were protesters and resistors. Saw some scattered fires in the interior of the country as well. He saw storm clouds over the whole country with demonic warfare going on in heaven. Storm clouds all about. The saints were getting weary, but were continuing to pray because they were in a battle. At the end of September, the heavens opened, and he saw the Lord with his angels. And the Lord said, arise, my bride, and prepare to pray. Arise, my bride, and prepare to battle. Arise, my bride, and prepare to see my face, for I am coming soon, and my reward is with me. And he heard the sound of 1,000 shofar horns during that time. And he just felt a powerful presence of the Lord. And, of course, the message is that the church is to pray, and we're to do spiritual battle. And that's exactly what we're supposed to do. We talked about that last week. We're to bind the enemy and release the Holy Spirit and stand in the gap for people and prepare our hearts and get ready, because we know who we are in Jesus.
Amen.
We're seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. You know, we have all authority, his authority, his power. We have all his resources, and we're to bring that kingdom of God to earth. And I believe that's what we're going to be called to do here as time goes by. So it's just, you know, who knows what's going to happen in the next few months. But I'd say stand by and get prayed up and filled up and ready to trust the Lord more and more and reach out to the lost and be able to help your brothers and sisters in Jesus.
Amen, brother. I heard one other word that you may have all heard, and it was from a woman that I had never heard of or met. I can't even remember her name, but she said the church has been weakened in four different ways. One is by fear has replaced faith. Mm-hmm. And I agree. You know, secondly was that there's a lot of confusion because of the social gospel and the things I've been rereading Romans 1 and 2, and the Lord is pretty clear about the moral base of the Church of Jesus Christ. And it's been tempered with, and people are preaching things that are just come to Jesus and you'll be happy the rest of your life. Well, I'll tell you, in the last month and a half, I have never known such pain. And I think of my friend Jerry and Ann there and Sue and Jane and others who've been through so difficult, Carrie and Sherry, and you've been through pain. And yet it's almost as though I hear people saying, well, then you must not be a Christian. And in terms of this gospel, it's going, come to Jesus and you'll just never have any more problems. Well, I've not found that to be true. I found that what God has done is he's shown things in my heart this past month and a half that in a sense I had to get before God and then shame and repentance of my arrogance theologically. You know that verse that I've quoted so many times from 1 Peter? He says, why are you surprised at the fiery ordeal, as though something strange is happening? And, you know, I keep saying, you know, Lord, I've taken all the meds. I've got the shot in the lumbar and blah, 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 blah. And I'm hurting more and more. Where are you? And if I listen, he says, I'm with you in it. Well, can't you get me out of it? You know, and I think of the pain that Carrie's been through and others of you have been through. And Aunt Jerry and Ann, well, no, maybe he isn't going to get us out of us, but my faith has got to remain strong in the pain. When Barbara fell last night and I heard her at 2 a.m. and we don't know if her shoulders are broken. We'll see the doctor this afternoon. She's in pain crying. I'm in there lifting up my wife, crying out, Jesus, all we've done the last 6 weeks is cry out to you in pain. Our children and people like you have been absolutely magnificent. I've learned that one of the greatest gifts you can give someone, you know, the text that we've talked about, is more blessed to give than to receive. Mm-hmm. Well, I found out that giving oftentimes for me is receiving the gift of another. It's much easier for me to give than to receive the gift of another. And I was in tears the other night with what my daughter has gone through with us. And they've spent the night with us and been with us when I'd roll over in bed and couldn't move in the pain. And they'd just come in and pray with me. Mm. And some of you have been through a lot of things. Is it going to go away? I don't know. I think it's that I've got to come to grips with it and remain in faith and not let the fear and the hurt and the pain of the moment hurt my faith in Christ Jesus.
I know it's a way of escape, is.
Yep.
That we may be able to endure it.
Amen. I saw Pat wanted to say something. Go ahead.
Yes. Recently, we were invited to participate in a group setting, which we thought was a Bible study. And through the few weeks that we've been going, the group has been watching different prophets online in this group. Oh. And we have become more and more uncomfortable. Until this last week, the prophet was talking about how awful the churches are and how much money the churches have taken. And in fact, one woman said, or there were in fact two that have quit going to church and one has quit tithing. And they were very proud of this. And we're talking about strong Christian people. And it just really grieved Stan and I both. And finally, Stan contradicted what the person had been saying online. And we talked about the fact that tithing is scriptural and it didn't seem to faze anybody. And what went through my mind is that little insidious demons are planting in people's minds negative things about the church. And we know that no church and no person is perfect. We know that. But we know also that we are to stick together and be positive in what we're doing and stay scriptural, which I feel these people are not doing.
Well, I couldn't help but agree with you. I just have been so sad when the church says what we've got to do is take care of the needs of the world. Well, that's true, but it's only second. You got to preach the kingdom first. People can, and until that message of the kingdom is really preached, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then I'll add all those other things. I found that to be true personally.
How many different small groups are moving away from the center point, Christ? How many small groups across over the world are slowly, slowly moving away.
Some, I think some of them are moving away positively,
right,
and others, yeah, are moving away negatively.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
I think that's happening all over the world. I remember when Al was talking about his grandson and the things that are happening amongst them, thousands of young people coming to the Lord.
Right.
Magnificent renewals and revivals.
Right.
But there's got to be more than coming to the Lord.
Right, right.
There's got to be the discipleship.
Right.
It's got to return.
Right.
Yeah, excuse me. Someone else wanted to talk. I didn't miss you. Yes.
Last week, I heard a pastor, he was talking about a chapter 35 in Isaiah, and he talked about a highway of righteousness. And he said that, but he talked about, and he referenced that, and he talked about how it said, and I'm paraphrasing it, people who wander off of that path, then they fall into all kinds of problems in the briars and thorns, things like that. And this pastor was saying, there's a saying among truckers, sometimes you'll hear them on their radios, they say, keep your britches between the ditches. And keep focused on where you're going, and you take your mind off of what you're doing, and you start getting drawn off, and you end up in a ditch, you know, you end up in the brambles and the briars and stuff. And I think that that's what a lot of has happened to the body of the church. Mm-hmm. And I see this as part of what Scripture says when they talk about there will be a falling away.
Right.
That people who don't have strong faith are getting led off. And it talks about being led off by all these different things, you know, and feeble-minded people will be told these stories, and they'll be off to listen to people who are tickling their ears with what they want to hear and things like that, you know.
It's very wonderful to hear, you know. I told you I went through the whole confession is possession theology, and that's when my son died. And I was mad at God. So mad. I've told you the story. You read it in my book. When I got to that parking lot, the things I said to God, I thought he was going to just send me to hell. And because I said, all we did was believe the scriptures. With his stripes, he's healed and blah, blah, blah. And we only call people who believe that. And my son died. Yeah. God, you failed me. Mm-hmm. And then out of my being came, though he slay me, I will trust him. I'll tell you, faith is a lot different. Yes, go ahead.
One thing that you need to remember, I think, and that is that when you've said it before, when God wants to really do something great, he sends a baby.
Amen.
There's thousands of people, this city, that have been blessed by you. And that baby broke the direction you were going and put you back on the path. Whether you understood it or not at that time, think of the thousands of people in Tulsa, Oklahoma that have had a foundation in God, that God has done that through you. And it was necessary. And that baby did a good job. That's what his job was.
God is good, and my ways are not your ways, says the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I look at your faces across the screen, and I know some of your stories and the pain and difficulties you've been through. And yet, you're smiling. You're full of God's grace and mercy. You're not blaming him for the difficulties that your life has faced. And I think that's a great testimony. It wasn't many years ago when we thought that Jan was going to die, and Al was grieving and praising God with all the mixture of emotion. And do you remember that, Al?
Jan? Sure.
Sure you do. And the times that Jerry and Ann have been the same way. And I think of Carrie and Sherry and Sue, and just those of you who faced a lot of things. I can't help but admit, I want a picture someday of Jane's husband carrying her.
Yes.
So God works through these situations. I wanted to in 24, it goes on about the perilous times, and then there's the parable of the fig tree and the glorious return. And then in the 25th chapter,
yes,
it says the parable of the 10 virgins. Now, are we going to have oil or not?
We are.
We've got to have oil.
Amen.
And God, and you go back, and I've been rereading the prophecy of Joel. So if you wouldn't mind, would you turn with me to it in Acts 2? And let's remember together, in Luke 24, Jesus teaches them on the road to Emmaus that they are to wait for the Holy Spirit. And he says that their minds were open to understand all of the scripture. But he said, even with that, I want you to wait. And in the first chapter of Acts, we realize they didn't wait. And Peter gets up and they pick up Matthias because God wanted to replace Judas with someone. But they did it without the anointing of the Spirit. And then, of course, in Acts 2 and Peter, you know the story. My point is I want us to hear and be men and women of this. Listen to what he said. It shall be in the last days I will pour forth of my Spirit upon all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see vision, and your old men, hey, will dream dreams. Even upon my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, we're not saying they're going to become Elijah. We're not saying they're going to become Isaiah and Ezekiel. To prophesy, as he talks about in 1 Corinthians 14, to encourage, to build up. Your testimony becomes a prophetic word. And I think many of you have prophetic words that we need to hear. It's almost like you've got God's mail for us, but if you don't deliver it, we don't get it. And all of us can prophesy one by one in terms of the scripture. And I've told you the stories I had with Father Winkler and all of that. But he goes on and he says, they shall prophesy, and I will grant wonders in the sky, signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. I thought of those verses as I was listening to the news and seeing Portland, Seattle, Kansas City, Washington, D.C., New York, Austin, up in flames. And I'm wondering, this is America? This is America. The point is, I believe we're living in those days. And Barb and I, when we talk, you know, she says, well, honey, please don't get that this is it and Jesus is coming tomorrow. We just don't know. I understand that. But he's coming. And if I die and my ashes are somewhere and he's got to pick up when he does come, so be it. I just want to be faithful in my old age.
Okay. Can I share something with you?
Sure, please.
Well, I was talking to the Lord here about last week. And I said, well, how much preparation should I do?
Good question.
And I said, is chaos imminent? And so here's what I heard the Lord say to me. Your protection is me.
Amen.
Let that sink in. Your protection is me.
Thank you, Jesus.
And then he wanted to say, no weapon can prosper against you. You have all my authority and power. Stand against the enemy. Bind the spiritual forces. You have all my angelic host encamped around you. They have my power. 1 to 185,000 power. They are ministering spirits to you and for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Know who you are in me. I thought that was a pretty good word.
Amen.
That's a great
Amen. These are troubled times. I mean, you can't turn on the news without seeing the foulness of our culture, our society, and the church. The church at large seems to be playing games. And when I see, you know, two priests marrying who are homosexual and lesbians people commit thievery, adultery, they lie and cheat and thrown in jail and the next day they're out, you know.
No, well, it's the wheat and the tares.
Yes, it is.
You know, that's
what I have a little person who goes along with animals.
Go ahead. Who's talking?
Ann.
Go ahead, Ann.
I have a little verse that goes along with owls that I say every night. Arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has shone round about thee.
Amen.
And it goes right along with owls' verse.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now,
amen.
The glory of the Lord is round about us.
Right. Amen.
Right.
How do you do, and as you say that, my heart leaps. I say, amen.
Right.
Amen.
How do I answer when I get prophetic words and I'm hurting so much I can't stand up?
Yeah.
Where are you, God? And God is saying, right here.
Right here. And the angels are round about thee.
Will you trust me when you hurt? Or do you only trust me when things go your way?
Right.
You never know till you go through it.
Right.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Danny.
Yeah, go ahead.
I can't remember the artist, but this morning I was listening to one of the radio stations that do Christian music. And there was a girl that did a beautiful song that's called It Will Be All Right.
Yes, I heard that.
It was very touching and meaningful for this time. It
Amen.
Will be all right.
It will be all right. Amen.
Not that we'll be safe or we'll be sure, but it will be all right.
Yeah.
Yep. We are his children. Remember the old gospel song, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And I didn't know until these last 6 weeks what many of you already have known for years, that there were portions of my Christian faith that needed a confession, repentance, and realignment.
Tom?
Yes, ma'am.
Recently I was praying and thinking about this COVID, and I feel like the devil is behind it. And
yeah.
For the past 50 years, he's been destroying the family.
Absolutely.
Which is God's building blocks. Mm-hmm. And if you get enough weak building blocks, the whole wall falls down.
That's right.
Society. Well, COVID is doing the same thing to our society. It is isolating people and filling them with fear and losing sight of what Al was talking about. I am your protection.
Mm-hmm.
And people are turning away from God and just giving in to fear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe that God is using this epidemic at every level, personal,
right.
Church,
right.
And nation.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The devil doesn't do anything without God's permission.
Right.
That's right.
It's still
we really are.
We got to turn from our wicked ways and
yes.
Seek the Lord and pray.
That's right.
Can we do that right now together, just we dozen or so folks?
Mm-hmm.
Just pray as God. I'll just kind of start and jump in. Father God, as a member of the body of Christ in 2020, so many things are going on nationally and in churches and in lives and families, in courts of law and universities and places of learning and our agencies of protection like police and army. So many, some we understand, some we don't. But, oh God, our part in it, we repent. If in any way we have somehow just slept and not noticed or heard you or used you for our own benefit rather than for the kingdom of God, we repent and we turn back to you and ask for forgiveness Wash us with the blood. Establish us as men and women of God who have the power and the authority and are seated with Christ. Amen.
Father, you've given us your authority. So you said we can bind on earth and it's already having been bound in heaven.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we bind the spirit of lawlessness in this country.
Yes.
You know that's the spirit of Antichrist. That's
yes.
The spirit of the enemy coming against our families, our society, our cities, our government, our schools. And Lord, we stand against that.
Yes.
You said that when the enemy comes in like a flood, you raise up a standard against him. And so, Lord, we're raising up that standard to stop the onslaught of lawlessness in this country.
Yes,
Lord. We bind the enemy. We bind the people who are being led by the devil, Lord, by demonic forces. Most of them don't know that that's going on
yes.
in their lives, Lord. And we release the power of the Holy Spirit.
Come.
Enter the hearts and minds, Lord, of those lost people. And some were even Christians involved in all this protest. Lord, open their hearts and let them understand and receive the love and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that they might come to their senses and realize who they are in Jesus. And for the people that are terribly lost, Lord, among our leadership in Washington, D.C., we pray, Lord, for just a divine filling of the power of God in their lives, mighty yes. conviction to come upon them, Lord, and the Holy Spirit to just change their minds, change their hearts, just like you did against Paul, Lord. There's so much of Paul going on right now. Saul, in the old days, he came against the church. He was doing the work of the devil. And, Lord, that's going on in our seats of authority. So we ask, Lord, that you have a Damascus Road experience for all of Washington, D.C., for the
yes.
governors and the mayors, Lord, in these cities. A
yes.
Damascus Road experience where, God, you just intervene. And they have to say, are you Lord? And you say, yes, I am Lord. And they will fall on their face and receive you and turn to Jesus.
Oh, God.
Lord,
oh,
wow. We just thank you so much for what you're going to do. You said, arise, bride, pray. That's what we're doing. Arise,
yes,
bride, and battle. That's what we're doing.
Yes,
you
Lord.
Said, arise, bride, and see my face because you're coming soon. And that's what we anticipate. So,
Amen.
Lord, we thank you that we can stand as soldiers in this battle. It's not in our power, our might, but it's in your spirit that brings the victory. And we
yes.
thank you for that. And we lift up our brothers and sisters here today with physical issues. We pray for Barb. Lord, we pray there's no broken bones. We pray you remove the pain, Lord, from Tom and give the docs wisdom. So they can make the right decision about the next step and that he'll get completely free of this pain. Praise the Lord.
Others of you want to pray?
2 Samuel 22:3 says, my God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my savior. From violent people, you save me.
Amen. Amen.
How's that?
That's wonderful.
Yes.
And in Psalm 34:8, he talks about taste and see that the Lord is good. That taste and see, I believe, is for those who don't know him to taste and see. And the way he's going to taste and see, he has called us light and salt. And the salt in Matthew 5:13 and light, he said, we are the light of the world. He said, we are the salt of the earth. You have made us this way, Lord, and we ask that you would anoint us to walk before them that they may taste and see, even by your spirit and your power through our lives in front of them. In Jesus' name.
Father, I just pray that each one of us will just fulfill your will for each one of us till the last breath. And our next breath is with you.
Thank you, Lord.
And Father, we want to be faithful in the times of pain, the times of joy, the times of sorrow, the times of war. But we are already victorious in Christ Jesus. And we, along with the others, bind the principalities of darkness that are coming against people of God in this day and age. Expose the false prophets and teachers, O God, and bring and raise up men and women of God willing to lay down their lives for the King and his kingdom. In Jesus' blessed name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, it's so good to see your faces. I want to hug your necks. I don't know how to do that. I just, so great. I want to say again, you know, that Al has come in so many times to save me in this meeting. It means so much to me just to see your face. I know many of your stories, and we're going to make this. We're going to come through because God is great.
Amen.
And he loves us.
Yeah.
So praise the living God. Anybody, anything you want to say or share?
Oh, I have a prayer request.
Yes, ma'am.
Mark, my son-in-law here in Tulsa, has the virus.
Oh.
And Martha's entire family has it except for her oldest son, who had it last spring.
Oh.
So they need prayer.
Oh, wow. We just lift up her family, Lord, Martha and the family and Mark, and invite you to be glorified somehow in and through this as you heal, deliver, and strengthen the family, and they become testimony to the presence of the living God. Thank you, Jesus.
I would like to comment. One time I was just grieving over something that had happened in my family setting. And so Sunday I went to church, and I was just worshiping and is so close to the Lord. And as I was driving away, Satan started speaking in my ear saying, look, your family is grieving in such a terrible way, and you're having fun. You're enjoying yourself. And it hit me. I had heard a pastor say, joy is not the absence of pain, but the presence of God. Mm-hmm. So even in our pain, in our grief, in whatever is troubling us, when we go before the Lord, there is joy.
Amen.
Thank you for that. Two or three in the morning, and when Barb fell, and I went over, you know, got her in the bed and all that, and we're just sitting there. And I think this is my girlfriend of 60 years. And we both in tears and in pain said, God's bringing us through it, isn't he, honey? Mm-hmm. Yes. And sometimes painful, but it will be worth it all.
Yes.
I don't want to give up. I do not.
Oh, you can't give up.
Amen. Yes, Sherry.
Just had a thought, and it's not complete, but Buck has, in many instances, referred to that passage, taste and see that the Lord is good. Mm-hmm. But you stop and think about it. The salt has to lose its identity as salt. It has to be blended into whatever it is for it to become useful.
Yeah.
And light has to permeate the world if it's going to be good. You can't be sitting on a hill. It can't be doing its little thing in a box. It has to be willing to die to its identity and become useful to the body of Christ.
Amen. Jerry.
There's another thing it said about salt, and that is it loses its saltiness. And I thought about that, and I thought the primary way salt loses its saltiness is it is diluted.
Yeah.
I think that we need to be careful of what we hear and see.
Yes.
Because we don't want to be deluded.
And ask for God's spirit eyes to be able to discern what is of him and it is not of him.
Amen. Give us discernment. Yes, Jerry. Go ahead, Jerry.
No, I was done. I just
Jane has something to say.
I was just basically just thinking we have to be willing to share it and not sit on our hands and do our thing at home.
Amen.
Tying in with that, there was a book years ago called Out of the Salt Shaker and Into the World.
Yes.
By Becky Pippert. And in that, she talks about being salt and being in the world and how we are to be. I just Amen. Thought, you know, we can't keep it in.
I would like to comment on, you know, when we bring the Lord and we study and get so much more of His love and His wisdom in us and are not able to share, that stifles us. And in this condition that the world is in right now, we are not able to give out Christ like we have been able to. We're being stifled, and I think that's hurting Christians. We become stale or something. I don't know how to say it, but
yeah.
It seems like we're not being able to minister.
Right.
Yeah. God will show us ways, won't He? He'll show us ways out of that. Yeah, I keep missing Jerry over here. Go ahead, Jerry.
Well, I've got a comment I'd like to share. Tom, you started with today with Tulsa being a sanctuary city, that you heard that prophecy in 1970. And then Buck's comment and others' comments about being salt and light. And we can't be a sanctuary city unless we light the watchtower, so to speak, and we let people know it's a safe city to be in.
Yeah.
So that thought occurred to me that it ties in with what you were saying at the very beginning of the
City of Refuge.
Yes, the City of Refuge.
Yes.
You know, I think back, and maybe Tom remembers this. I don't think anybody else in the screen was there at the time. We were having meetings out at 51st and Mingo, and we would open up the microphone and ask people to share. And that was not my thing. I tended to sit on my duff and not share. And I remember one particular Sunday feeling God prompt me to go to the front and share that very same thing about being a city of refuge. I don't know. It just struck me. Ann and I were talking about this last week. That God actually spoke to me 45 years ago. That very same thing.
Wow.
And maybe you remember it. Maybe you don't. But I did.
Yeah, I know that God speaks a lot of things through both of you, and I want to hear more of them.
You are
brothers and sisters. You are God's mailmen to the body of Christ.
You know, the City of Refuge was primarily used when someone accidentally killed someone else.
Yeah. That
was primarily, if there was no malice aforethought, there was no premeditation, there was no hatred ahead of time, yet because of circumstances, somehow a person was killed and you were responsible, then there was a place to go where in those times the avenger of blood was one of the eldest member of the family of the deceased person would be the one that would be designated to go and kill a person who had killed their loved one.
Well, I think that's all expanded in the New Testament.
I think about that, and I think, you know, there's times when I've had a mouth problem, and I killed somebody unbeknownst to me.
Exactly.
You know, and I know I've done this. Maybe I've done it to my own children, my ex-wife, or whoever. But somehow we have to realize that and repent and come to the place of refuge in Him.
Amen. The body of Christ, the kingdom of God, is this city of refuge. Amen.
Wise words.
Yes, ma'am. Hi, Sue.
Hi, how are you? Well, I've heard how you are, and I'm praying for you. I'm thinking about the end times. This, what we're going through now is so like the end times, mm-hmm. if you think about it. And so it's an occasion for us to examine ourselves and see how we would respond. And it's also a time to let our full faith come forward.
Yes.
Others to strengthen them. Faith has been so much on my mind. To me right now, faith, hope, and love, faith is the strongest thing right now. Because faith is the thing that gets things accomplished when you pray for healing. That faith has to accompany that in order for the healing to be realized. So all of the knowledge about the end times is fairly clear, I think, in the Bible. And so we need to look over that again and see how we should prepare, what we should say, how we should be strong. We're to be the encouragers. We're to be the life givers for other people. And
Amen.
So we need to understand it ourselves, which we probably won't completely understand it, but it's really a picture of the end times, so clear, I think, to me. And so maybe we want to read those passages again about the end times, what's mm-hmm. going to happen, and so forth.
Lord's already been there, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, hearing a word that we have, we hear and yet we don't hear, and that's discernment. Mm-hmm. That we tend to blurt things out now and then, and we really need to seek God's direction through the Holy Spirit before we do it. Mm-hmm. And we don't get the foot and mouth disease, and God's work is done, not ours.
Yeah. And it is amazing how what's happening in our world today, in our United States, how the Bible talks about the end times, rioting, all that goes on. I mean, it's so typical of evil.
Oh.
And that's what Satan's after. So we need to be really prayerful in these times, and faithful, and stand strong as Christians. Lord, your word says this. Lord, your word says that. I'm standing on it.
Amen.
So that the strength, his strength, will be our strength.
Well, Father God, I'm so grateful you're our Father.
Yes.
And Lord, because of your huge love, I've been able to call you Papa,
Amen.
Daddy. That term of endearment that Paul used, I can remember, Father, when the only thing I could think was Holy Father. And you are that. And you're not diminished when Paul called you Papa or Daddy. He was talking about the intimacy that you want with each one of us. As children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as those who've been called into the army of God and are now brandishing the enemy wherever we see or hear of him in the name of Jesus, tearing down strongholds in the name of Jesus, binding the enemy where and here we hear he operating, and releasing the power of God and the kingdom of God on earth. Let us be your kingdom army, Father. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. Thanks again, Carrie, for setting this up.